today on CityCast Chicago. Why was Madigan's corruption trial delayed? Is it time to get the dibs chairs out? And did you play any good board games over the holidays? Producer Michelle Navarro and I are here to tell you what's going on. It's Tuesday, January 9th. I'm Simone Alisea in for Jacoby Cochran, and this is what Chicago's talking about. Hey, Michelle, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I am doing okay. Late last week, we heard that Mike Madigan's trial has been delayed about 6 months. So this is the former Illinois House Speaker who's facing racketeering charges for just a variety of alleged corruption schemes during his decades and decades in office. But it's interesting because the reason the trial was delayed actually has to do with a case out of Northwest Indiana.
So what are the details of that case?
Yeah, so this has to do with a case out of Portage, Indiana, Snyder v. United States. This is a U.S. Supreme Court case. And what happened was, is former Portage Mayor James Snyder was initially convicted of bribery in 2021, but his lawyers are saying that the money that he got in this scheme, it was like $13,000 for, you know, steering the purchase of garbage trucks, right, that he directed that contract toward a particular company, that the money he got came after the city purchased the trucks. Therefore, his lawyers say, it's not quid pro quo. It's not bribery. That makes it a gratuity. And so they're asking the Supreme Court to overturn this conviction, this element of it, because that's the argument, that it's not bribery.
It's so fun. Like, the word choice, right, is so important. Is it like a little gift, or is it like, you know, like, that's really the big difference. Is it a little gift, or is it something that we had promised, hey, I'm going to get you this if you do this for me? And it's so hard because, like, what can you look at that as for face value? You're rewarding someone for something they did to you. And that's something that where you shouldn't, this is why these standards of, like, even as us as journalists, right? Like, we can't receive gifts from people. Same thing with politicians. The thing we have, you know, in common is that we're trying to serve people out of our interest, but in the interest of people. So it's just interesting that they're kind of going off this wordplay. And that's kind of like the big thing that's really, really halting this case.
I think, as you say, there's sort of an element here that's like, the face value of this, what the average person is seeing is like, oh, interesting. You gave a contract to this company and they gave you personally, former Mayor James Snyder, thousands of dollars for consulting services, supposedly. Like, that looks and seems like things are not on the up and up. But lower circuit courts are divided on sort of what, you know, does a gratuity, if there's not an explicit quid pro quo, if there's not an explicit prior agreement that says, you know, I will accept this money in exchange for taking this action as a politician, is that really a bribe? And you can kind of see in like a legal vacuum, right, of like how that kind of makes sense, right? Like, surely you would want to prove the intention of where right. this money is coming from. But again, I think for us lay people, it makes a big difference. And basically what's going on is, because the U.S. Supreme Court is considering this case, what Mike Madigan's lawyer said is, hey, I think we need to delay this trial until after this case has been decided, because there are elements and counts as part of his indictment that would speak to this. Like, you know, when did Madigan receive the benefits from taking the actions that he's accused of taking, for which benefits? And the judge essentially agreed and said, look, we don't want to have to retry this after, right. you know, after this is all decided and do this all over again. Like, let's wait until Snyder is decided, which is expected sometime this summer.
Yeah, and you said the word intention, and that's going to be like the messy thing about this. It's like, how can we truly know what people's intentions were? So I'm really interested in seeing kind of the arguments being used for the word gratuity. It's just like, when you hear gratuity, it's like,
you think of a tip at a restaurant. That's what I think of when I hear gratuity.
You have excellent service at a restaurant, or just great, you know, service at a restaurant, and you're like, oh, thank you for taking care of me. And in politics, I don't think that really lends itself, So it's kind of like, yeah, it's going to be really interesting to see what comes out of this and its impact on this case and also more corruption cases to possibly come.
Right. That's the thing is, you know, the feds have had a banner year in Chicago and Illinois. I feel like we've talked about corruption just, you know, the past like few months. I feel like we've talked about it like every other week.
Right.
Because there's some trial going on. We've got a series of indictments that have kind of come down the line from that big kind of raid in, 2019. And the other thing, too, to think about is like, and this is sort of not at play in the Snyder case, but it makes me think about things like campaign donations, like it sort of starts to raise these questions about when is it ever OK to give a politician money? Is it ever OK, especially
right.
if you have done business with the city or do business with the city in some capacity? I don't know. I think that it will be a really interesting case to watch. And the other thing that's going to happen, too, is now Madigan's trial is in October, which means it's probably going to be taking place during a presidential election, which is just going to be it's like a lot of stuff happening all at once this fall, really kind of pushing this down the line. We were expecting like, yes, maybe this trial will be happening during the primary. But now it's looking like it'll be happening during the general election, which just I feel like it just adds another layer of, you know, we're thinking about the way politics are done in this state, in this city, and in this country. And I think it's going to be quite messy. You might have seen some snow on the ground this morning. Maybe you even had to shovel out a space for your car. Either way, now is a great time to have the perennial debate about dibs. Michelle, how do you feel about this tradition of saving parking spots with household objects after you've shoveled out the space?
I would like to, before I say anything, I do not drive.
Fair enough. Okay.
I do have opinions, but I do not drive. So this has never been something that's personally affected me, though I did grow up, you know, with my parents driving. And so I was in my neighborhood, on my block. It's very respected. It's a very respected practice. Everyone tries to, you know, do their best at shoveling their spot, and people put dibs all the time. And it's like the protocol for my block is if you shovel, that is your spot. I grew up with my parents putting random shit in front of our house in our parking spot. And so I'm totally cool with it. I'm totally game. I think I've seen my dad clean out, especially in those years where we've had a lot of snow. I've seen my dad take his time to clean his parking spot, to add salt and to add salt around. And also like if you're cleaning your parking spot, you're more than likely to, or you should, if you don't, shame on you, but you should be cleaning your sidewalk for people who are going to be walking on your block, for your neighbors. And so I think like if you're going to be taking care of the outside of your home and you're like, you earned that, you know what I mean? That's how I see it.
So this is the question though. If you did drive, if you had a car and you had to park on the street, A, would you dibs? B, what would you dibs with?
Most definitely, if I cleaned the spot and I took care of it, then I definitely agree that it is fine for me to dibs. And I would use like a city marker, something that looks like the city put it, because I feel like it'll make it like, because someone can just have the day and just pass by and be like, F your dibs and take your thing off, which happens a lot too. And so I would probably use something like an orange cone or orange cones.
Weren't you saying that your dad had chairs stolen, actually?
Yeah. So my dad, we had these really heavy metal or like iron chairs that we would use in our patio, in our backyard. And because they're so heavy, my dad's like, oh, this is great. But people who like collect iron, like they would pass by and steal them. And so like I think the best bet is just putting random stuff that people aren't really that enticed to steal. I think if you leave something like good, someone might take it. But like, I don't know, just leaving something goofy would be kind of funny, I think. Like, I was looking at, like, there's a Tumblr page called chicagodibs.tumblr.com, and I'm just, even just online, I see a lot of people put their funniest dibs. One of the funniest ones is just, like, random religious, like, statues.
Iconography, yeah, there's one, like, a giant statue of Jesus that I think is actually pretty funny. But also like moving that to like put your car in feels like a lot of effort in my opinion. Something like that.
So is cleaning your spot. So is like taking 20 minutes to clean out your spot and to, you know, ensure that your car can safely go in and go out of the spot. So I think it's fair. I think the biggest and most obnoxious ones are my favorite for sure. But like I said, I would choose like something very like subtle, like an orange cone, or maybe like take some kind of like city thing from around the block and like place it on my spot, because then people are going to be like, oh, is this the city? Like, is the city doing work? And that's how I would disguise my dibs.
That is clever. I don't know if I agree with it in principle. I've talked about this on the show, but just to for new listeners and for anyone who, you know, is hasn't heard me rant about this. So I disagree with dibs in principle. I think it's not neighborly. I think, you know, these are public roadways. I think fundamentally, I think, you know, it shouldn't be up to individuals to, you know, kind of make public rights of way, public ways clear and available to use. Like, I just fundamentally, I don't think that's the case. I think that's not how this is supposed to work. Now, that said, if I come upon a spot that I was hoping to park in and I see some chairs, I'm not going to move them. I'm 100%. I'm not going to mess with that. I don't know what's going on. I don't know who's coming around the corner. Like,
that is the right answer. I would be concerned for you if you did that.
Yeah, no, I'm going to respect that. I'm not going to, because I mean, there are people who will move your stuff and will just park there anyway. And then like, and to be fair, when I moved to Chicago, I moved here in February, purposefully looked for a building with parking so that I didn't have to think about this. I was like, I really don't want to have to encounter this debate in the real world at all if I don't have to. And so I didn't. And that's how I avoided the dibs question.
That is a super logical and fair answer, because I completely respect the idea that public roads are for the public good. I also wanted to say, like, dibs does not work days after it snowed. Like,
yes,
take that off. Like, it's done. You know, the snow's gone. I don't think it's fair. It's a very time, you know, sensitive kind of thing where you think it's okay. I also think that if the city did probably a better job at like cleaning walkways and snowways in specific areas of the city, because they're great in other areas, but in other areas they don't be coming around. So I think if they did better job at that, less people would be concerned at cleaning their snow and less people would be that greedy with spaces. But alas, here we are.
Here we are in wintertime. I do think that's a good point, though, because in other cities where this kind of thing happens, apparently it is done year round and not just during the winter. And I do appreciate that about Chicago. I don't see a lot of summer dibs out here. Like, and I feel like that's generally agreed upon that, like,
it's a free for all.
Yeah.
First come, first serve.
I 100% agree. Let us know how you feel about dibs. Give us a call. Shoot us a text, 773-780-0246. Or if you got some dibs in your neighborhood, show us some photos. Let us know throughout the winter. We'll kind of be collecting opinions on this. And I don't know. Maybe we'll get a definitive answer. Dibs, good or bad?
Yeah.
Michelle, over the holiday, I wrote up a little guide to board games that are either locally made or sort of locally inspired. And as it turns out, our readers are also really into board games and gave us a bunch more suggestions. Did you know that like Chicago is actually home to like a bunch of like board card game makers? Like, it's like a real hub for that kind of thing.
I actually had no idea until reading about this. But yeah, I didn't know at all.
Yeah. Are you a board game person? Do you like board games?
I do. I love board games growing up. Me and my sister played them a lot. We were big Clue fans. We were big Life fans, like kind of the classics.
You know, some of the board games that I talked about, it's funny because I sourced from like my friends who play a lot of board games, but you know, Cards Against Humanity, which I think is quite popular. A lot of people, you know, have
loved that game.
Yeah, you know, started by a group of Highland Park High School alumni. You know, there were more than one game, you know, that sort of lets you play like a Prohibition style gangster where you like take territory. Wise Guys was one that was recommended. And then one that I really, really want to play but haven't had the chance to yet is Loop, the elevated card game from Transit Tees, which is basically, it was described to me as Uno, but with transit lines, but with the L lines. So you're like matching the colors of like the red line. Yeah. And you're like the stations and you're trying to get rid of all your cards. And
I love Uno. So I think that's one that I would definitely want to check out.
Our readers recommended several more. Patricia G wrote in about games that were made by Marvin Glass, who was a Chicago native. And these are like really classic games like Mousetrap, Operation, Ants in the Pants, Simon. So Patricia says those should all count as Chicago games because Marvin Glass was from here, which is generally how we like to do things in Chicago, yeah. I think.
Yeah. If you're born here, like we claim you.
Yeah, 100%. It's very funny, actually. Patricia also recommended a few game cafes, Bonus Round, and Stay and Play. And then Shelby K mentioned another Transit Tees game called Chicago Handshake, which is a drinking game and, you know, involves the classic Malort old style combo. It is, Oof. Yeah. So it's like, you know, the cards say things like take turns naming local breweries. First one to miss takes one drink and then one, you know, takes one drink and you play that way and there are points and stuff like that. But, you know, Shelby said that they skirted the rules a little bit, did a sip of Malort, skipping the beer, which I would have done the other way around. I would have avoided the Malort at all costs personally, but
I would have took a sip of the old style and skipped the Malort. But
yeah, you go, Shelby. You go, Shelby.
Yeah, you go, girl.
Well, thanks so much to everyone who wrote in. If you have any other games you want to share with us, I've said the number earlier. You can also email us, chicago@citycast.fm. And yeah, definitely want to hear, because I'm a big board gamer and want to hear what other games are out here. Thanks so much, Michelle, for taking the time and chatting with me today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
You can find our list of Chicago board games, plus more on Dibs, and the Indiana case affecting local corruption trials at chicago.citycast.fm. That's also where you can subscribe to our newsletter, Hey Chicago, where you get stories like these in your inbox 5 days a week. And some good news, since we're talking about the newsletter, remember, it's the last week to vote Hey Chicago as best newsletter and CityCast Chicago as best podcast in the Readers Best of 2023. Find us under the City Life category and vote at the link in the show notes. It really means a lot to us. That's it for today. We'll be back tomorrow, as we are most Wednesdays, chatting about food. We'll talk to you then.
I've never played a game of Monopoly, and for some reason, I don't want to. But I think I should eventually one day.
I feel like you would actually be extremely competitive in Monopoly.